Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Now, just to give you a little bit of a heads up as to where we are at the moment, having done our 2020 Sundays in January and describing the vision the first Sunday, what we're about and what God has spoken to us to be living for. The second Sunday was really looking at the culture. Who are we? What's our DNA? Who are we as a people? How does the Bible describe the church and being a kingdom people? And then the third Sunday that we were looking at in January was, what's the mission? What are we doing in relation to what the vision is? So all the things that we do during the week, whether in this building or out and about or around the country or working with people in other countries, all of that is connected to the vision that God has given us. The second Sunday of those three, we talked about the culture. Who are we? And we said that what we would do is unpack all of those things that we talked about over the next 2 or 3 months to really look to see what does that look like to live all of this stuff in our own individual lives, but what does it look like to live all of these things together as a people, as a church? And so the three aspects of our culture we described in this way. We're a house of God, we're a family of believers, and we're a friend to the... Okay, and so just to clarify what those things mean. In any Christian's life or in any church, there are three key aspects that make us believers or make us a church. Firstly, that we're a house of God. What is that? That we're spiritually growing in our relationship with God. And then together as a body of people, as a church, that we are spiritually growing together. Then we said the family of believers is how we grow in our relationships, what the life of the church is like in terms of our friendships, the dynamic of life that we share. And we used a number of different words to describe what it is to be a family of believers. And so we'll check all of that out starting from next week onwards, what those seven words are that we're using to describe who we are as a church, a kingdom people. And then the third part was friend to the world. So you've got your relationship with God, the spiritual, you've got the relationships with each other, the family of believers, and then we've got being a friend to the world. And we said that we don't want to be soapbox Christians who stand on a soapbox and tell everybody what's wrong and that we're right, that we're not coming with that kind of attitude and heart to people out in the community or in society. Yes, God has done amazing things in our lives, and for many people, you know the difference, but now your life has, from when you didn't know Jesus to what it's like now, having been completely transformed by knowing Jesus. And we want to go out with that heart to people and help them to see how good God is, how amazing He is. And we do that practically in the way we serve and love people, but we also do that with words in terms of telling people about Jesus, sharing the gospel. And so we said there are a number of different things, our own personal witness in that, our friendships that we've got and how we reach our friends and families that don't know Jesus. Then how we're reaching the community, and then things that we're involved in that are more to do with wider issues of society. And so, but we're coming with a heart to be a friend to the world, and so that people can encounter God in their world, and then meet Jesus. So we're looking at House of God this week, the third one, and we said, what makes a House of God? How do you grow spiritually in your life, or together, how do we grow spiritually? There's three main parts to it. One is through the Word of God. Okay, and the Word of God is our conviction. That's where we get all of our convictions and values from the Word. We don't get them from somebody else's opinion, philosophy, lifestyle, political persuasion or whatever. That as Christians, we get our values and convictions from the Word of God. And so that's the plumb line, the baseline for us, the Word that we want to live our lives from. And Pastor Collins spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. Then last week, Pastor Helena spoke about being a people of prayer. So we grow in God through the Word, through knowing Him, through the Word and what the Bible says about Him and how to live as a Christian. The second part is prayer. And prayer really is our dependence on God. If we don't pray, then we're kind of saying, well, we don't really need God. If we don't pray individually on our own, or we don't pray together about stuff. We're saying, well, we can handle everything. We can do all this stuff. We don't need God. Whereas what prayer, basically by praying, we're saying, God, we can't do all the things that you want to do through our lives. We're dependent on you doing them through us. And so we pray not because God needs us to pray. We pray so that we line up with God and what he wants to do. You understand? You with that? So prayer was the second part, and Pastor Leonard brought a great word last week, and hopefully it was really practical, wasn't it? I don't know if you guys have been applying some of that during the week. Brilliant. And then this week, the third part is worship, okay? And we're just going to look at this for a few minutes and then really just have a time of worship where we can just worship and flow and let God work amongst us and do things today. So the third part is worship, and worship really is our adoration or our devotion. Now, when you look at Romans chapter 12, in the first few verses, let's just have a read of this for a moment. In Romans chapter 12, the first few verses, it talks about worship being more than just singing songs in a meeting, okay? It says, therefore, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans, and he says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So what he's saying is your spiritual act of worship isn't just what happens in a meeting on a Sunday morning or whenever else we might meet together. He's saying your life is an act of worship. Yeah. How you live is how we worship God in our lives. So how we live, we want to honor God. So we want to honor God in our attitudes, in our actions, in the way we treat people, whether it's people that are Christians or people that don't know Jesus yet. You know, the way we live, the way we think, the way we deal with life, really Paul is saying here is how we worship God, okay? And all of the things we're looking at in terms of house of God, family of believers and friend to the world, that's really going to unpack what it means to live a life that worships God, okay? So we're not going to look at the bigger lifestyle this morning in the context of worship, okay? Because all of the stuff over these next few weeks is unpacking that this is a life of worship, that we're a person of the word, we're a person of prayer, or we're a people of the word, or a people of prayer, that we are a people who are generational, a people who are hospitable, a people who are, you know, generous, a people who encourage, a people who belong, a people of significance, all those things we've been looking at, being a friend to the world, that is living a life of worship, okay? And so it's really practical, but today we want to look at, worship in more of the context of growing in relationship with God and what worship actually is and does personally, but also corporately. And I don't want to go into a massive teaching. I want to just focus it on what happens when we come together and the importance of it and the importance of you and me as individuals in terms of being worshippers, being a person of habitation, which we'll look at quickly. And what happens when we come together, and why is it really important in terms of our spiritual life and growth? So Paul's talking about here about a life of worship, but we're going to look a bit more specifically at one aspect of that is when we're worshiping God together. Now, up on the screen there, you can see house of God, which is our spiritual dynamic, worship's part of it. There's two key words in John chapter 4 that Jesus spoke about. Remember the woman at the well? She was going out to get water in the middle of the day, and he met her at the well, and he asked her for a drink of water. And she wanted to give him a drink of water, but he was talking about another kind of water, living water. He was talking about his life that he was wanting her to have in terms of her coming into a relationship with God. And he said in that conversation, he told her everything about her life, which blew her away. And she ran into the town and told everybody, I've just met this man who's told me everything I've ever done. You've got to come and meet him. This could be the Messiah, you know, and everything. But Jesus said to her that there's a day coming when the true worshippers will worship in spirit and in truth. Now, when we come together, when we're on your own or when we come together, when we worship, we want the worship to be spirit filled and spirit led. So we want the worship to be full of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, it talks about the Holy Spirit guides us into all the truth. Now, who is the truth?
Jesus
is the truth. So the Holy Spirit wants to lead us and guide us and show us who Jesus is, okay? So if the worship, when we come together to worship God, or when we're at home maybe, or we're in a life group setting, whatever context we're in, we want the worship to be Spirit-filled. We want it to be full of the Holy Spirit, and we want it to be led by the Holy Spirit. If it's led by the Holy Spirit, where's he going to lead it? He's going to focus it on Jesus. He's going to want to reveal who Jesus is to us when we're worshiping. So straight away we realize that worship is not just singing songs. So we're not just singing songs about God or singing songs to God. What we're doing is we want the worship to be full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's going to show us who Jesus is. Now, why did Jesus say Spirit and truth? Because the truth is the Word. Now, the Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So if the Holy Spirit is filling the place and he's leading us, then he's going to lead us and guide us into the truth who Jesus is. So that means when we encounter the truth, that word encounter is really key. We're going to encounter who Jesus is. How many of you know there's a difference between singing a few songs and having a nice time and encountering Jesus? See, when you encounter Jesus, something happens on the inside of you. Something is fueled, if you like, on the inside of you. You know, when you begin to worship God, what are you doing? You're having to exalt or lift up or praise Jesus above how you might be feeling. So you might be feeling pretty naff one day, or things are tough. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So just because we might be having a tough time, that he doesn't change. He is still the same. And things change on the inside of us when we make a decision to say, right, Jesus is the same, even though I might not be feeling particularly great today or there's some challenges going on. But what I'm going to do, because I want my life to be full of the Spirit and I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to engage my will. Because I'm not going to live according to my emotions or my feelings and let those determine stuff. I'm going to put my will into gear, into action, and say, Jesus, you're amazing, you're incredible, you're still the same, you never change. So I'm going to worship you, exalt you, and lift you up, and over my feelings, over my circumstances, over whatever's going on, good or bad, at any given moment, and I'm going to exalt you and praise you because you are worthy of all praise. And as you begin to do that, stuff begins to change on the inside of you. You begin to encounter Jesus. And what happens then, if the Holy Spirit's involved, which he is, he'll give you a revelation of who Jesus is. He'll reveal something of Jesus. And so when we worship, it grows and develops your understanding of who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit reveals more of who he is. And what you focus on gets magnified. And so if you focus on Jesus, he gets magnified. If you focus on your problems and your issues, they get magnified. And then the last thing you feel like doing is praying or worshiping. You think, oh, I just don't feel like it. Nothing's going to happen. And sometimes you just need to say, right, will get into gear. Emotions, you're going to submit to who God is in my life. And so I'm going to exalt Jesus, praise him and worship him. And then everything else begins to catch up with it. It might take a few minutes. But sometimes we have to just know, I'm not going to live according to this, that, and the other. I'm going to live according to who I am in God. I want to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led. I want to live in the power of the truth in my life. Amen? And so we want to be a people of the Spirit and truth. So when we come together, we want it to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, and we want it to be full of truth. All right? There's enough other things out there that are opposite to the truth, or oppose the truth, or are different to the truth. And if we don't know what the truth is, then we can easily get led this way or that way. And so the Holy Spirit is always going to work with the Word. Okay, the Holy Spirit is not going to give you some weird stuff. Okay, the Holy Spirit will only reveal who Jesus is, who God is in the book. All right, and that's why it's talking about being in Spirit and in truth. Excellent. Now, in Psalm 27, David, when you read verse 4, just communicates just his heart for God, okay? And It says in there, in verse 4, that, David says, there's one thing I ask, one thing that I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So what David is saying, undergirding everything going on in his life, there's this longing on the inside. You know, I long to be with you, God. I want to be with you. There's one thing that I ask. Top of the agenda, top of the list in my life. The biggest desire that I have above everything else is I want to know you. I want to be in your presence. Now, we know that David had to go to a building or had to go to the tent of meeting or to a place to go and meet with God in that sense. Whereas for us, we don't have to go to a place. God has come to live in us. And the Bible then in the New Testament talks about us being a living temple or living stones or a temple of the Holy Spirit, because God comes to live in us. So you can be in your bedroom, in your lounge, in your office, in your car. We can be in this building or wherever, and you can worship God because he's with you, because he's in you. And so we don't have to go to a particular place to do something. He is with us. Now, what we do want to do is make time and space, because we want to cultivate being a person and a people of habitation, where we say, God, I want to be a person where you dwell and you abide and you live and you remain. We don't just want God to visit, do we? You know, we want God to live and dwell amongst us. Why? Because we honor him and we want to cultivate being a people of habitation, a people of his presence. Then in Psalm 26, verse 8, the psalm before, David says, I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Now again, he says, I want to go where you are, God. I want to be where you are. I want to be in your presence. Now for us again, his glory dwells in us. He lives in us. That's incredible to think the God of the universe somehow lives in us. That's awesome. And so David's saying that, I love the house where you live. And the great thing about being in Christ is it gets your eyes off yourself and onto who he is. Because some people say, well, I don't like myself. I mean, that's a whole nother avenue there that we haven't got time to go into. But if you take what he's saying, I love the house where you live. I love when I'm with you, God, because I'm just consumed with who you are. If you translate that to God now is in us, in terms of the New Covenant, New Testament, then people say, well, I love the house where he's in me. Yeah, you worship God for who he is. And you have a completely different perspective on who you are in him than just looking at yourself. That's why it's important to put your will into action. Say, God, I'm going to focus on who you are and not some of the stuff that I'm challenged with and struggle with. I'm going to focus on who you are. Then everything else lines up with that. Your thinking, your emotions, and everything else that goes on. Okay? So here's David's heart. You know, I want to be in your presence. I love to be where you are. And that's really that's one of the foundational things for you and me, you know, for every person who's a Christian, who's a believer, that we want that as a foundational desire and longing in our hearts and lives. Now, what does that mean? Because we want to cultivate habitation and that kind of thing. But also, what difference does that make when we come together? Let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 10 for a moment. Are you okay for a couple of minutes?
Yeah, good.
Hebrews chapter 10. It's verse 19. This is where, you know, your life matters. This is where your walk with God matters. This is where your faith is important. This is where your spiritual life and who you are in God matters, okay? Let's have a look and see what it says in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, that's Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Right, let's just stop there for a moment. We'll read on in a moment, okay? What's the writer to the Hebrews saying here? He's basically saying because of what Jesus has done on the cross, because he's taken every sin and paid the price for it, because he's taken all the consequences of sin, which are things like guilt and shame and hurt and pain and all of that kind of isolation, rejection, all of the things that people can suffer from in their lives because of life and things that happen. It says that Jesus took sin upon himself and all the consequences of sin upon himself and became guilty on behalf of mankind. Wow. And so God exercised his judgment on sin by allowing Jesus, or sending Jesus to the cross, to take the punishment of everything that you and me should be punished for. But because Jesus took that on himself, there was a cry that he cried on the cross at one point where he said, "It is finished," or "It is done." Because what he was basically saying is the victory over that sin, or over the power of sin, the victory over all the consequences of sin has been defeated, has been won. And he said, "It is finished, it is done." Then he gave up his spirit and died. Sin did not kill Jesus. Jesus gave up his spirit once the victory had been won over all of it. And then he was buried. Why was he buried? He was buried so that we could understand that when we come to Jesus and we say, "God, I realize there's things in my life I need to be forgiven for," especially when you first come to him, if you don't know Jesus, and the first time you come to him and you recognize you're separated from God and you need to be forgiven for all the sin and the stuff that separated you, you're basically saying, "God, I need to be forgiven for everything that has separated me from you, all the sin in my life, and I want to repent. I want to turn around, and instead of living that way, going that way, I now want to live in relationship with you." And so what the Bible talks about is when we repent of our sin and when we give our lives and when we come to Jesus, it's like we are then buried in the same way that Jesus was. We're buried to that old life of sin that separated us from God. And then a few days later, Jesus was raised from the dead. Why was he raised from the dead? Because he'd already defeated death. Death couldn't hold him. And so, of course, he was going to be raised from the dead because he'd already defeated death. And what that represents is that we are also raised to a new life in Christ. Your old life of sin and all the stuff that held you back, affected you and caused loads of rubbish to happen in your life, all of that is dealt with and is left in, you know, down there. And you're raised to a new life in Christ, which is a victorious one, which is a joyful one. You have a hope, you have a future, you have a destiny in God. And this is, I know it's a bit of a long-winded version of what it says here, but that's basically what those few verses are saying there in Hebrews. And because of what Jesus has done, we can be bold and we can be confident in approaching God when we worship him and the way we live our lives out, you know, in everyday life. But when we come together, we can be bold and confident in the way we worship because of who he is, what he's done, and we're not, we can come with a clear conscience. If you haven't got a clear conscience, man, it's difficult to be confident. But if you know, if your conscience is clear, because you know things are right with God, then there's a boldness, there's a confidence, there's a freedom. You don't mind expressing the life that you have on the inside of you, whether you're praising God with joy, whether you're lifting your hands in adoration, because worship is a devotion, but it's also an expression of who God is in our lives and the thankfulness that we have, the awe and the reverence that we have of him. Okay, you get me preaching in a minute. Right, here we go, verse 23. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." How also do we spur each other on? "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This is where your life matters. This is where you are significant in the body. You remember a part of the body. What you bring, what you come with is either going to add or detract from the life of the body. See, God knows each one of us by name. He's called you, chosen you. You're here, not by accident. You're here by God's purpose, design, His blueprint for your life, if you like. And how you are is important in the life of the church.
Absolutely.
And so what the writer here is saying is, hey, guys, when you come together, spur each other on. When you're worshiping, worship like there's going to be no tomorrow. It's the last chance you're going to have to worship. When you pray, pray like everything depends on it. When you read or get into the Word, you know, do it like you're trying to grab the thing.
Come on.
You know, because we're not passive believers. We're not a passive church. We're not just a bunch of religious people. We're a people that are alive in God and who He is. And God is not dead. He's not religious. He's not bored. God is alive. He's living and active. He's moving all over the place now in this nation, all over Europe and beyond. And we're part of that universal church, that massive worldwide church, that where God is moving and working. So we're alive. So when you arrive, what time you get here, all of that kind of stuff is important in terms of what you add and what you bring and what how that affects the dynamic of life that we have together when we're worshiping. Is that right? There's a few of you alive this morning. The rest of you are doing all right, yeah? Cool. I love this verse in Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29. It says here, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everything else is shaken around us in the natural at the moment. People don't know where things are going. What's happening financially, economically? What's going on with this, that and the other? But it says here, in the middle of all of that, we are receiving a kingdom, or have received, one that cannot be shaken. Look at this. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Wow. So when we worship, we want to worship with reverence. What does that mean? That's honor. With awe. Or you could use the word fear of the Lord. Now that's not being afraid of God. Fear of the Lord means reverence and awe. It means honor. And so when we come together, we don't want to come with a fag end.
Right. That's it.
Attitude. We don't want to come just with a tip in our hat to the Lord and we're doing Him a favor by being here on a Sunday or turning up to life group or whatever it is we might be involved in. We don't do God favors.
Come on.
Do we? You know, there's a reverence and an awe. There's a joyfulness about being a believer. That, you know, I'm not talking about being serious and somber in terms of, you know, heavy. What we're talking about is being a people that have a reverence and awe of God. It's like, God, you're incredible. You're amazing. You are holy. You're magnificent. So when we come together, we want to, before we've even got in the car on the way here or walked here or however you get here, fly here, I don't know how you get here, but however you get here on a Sunday, that you've already made a decision in your heart and in your life, right, I'm going to give everything to God this morning. I'm going to be a significant part of what takes place this morning when we come together. So I'm going to spur everybody else on. I'm going to encourage other people because I'm going to go with a great attitude to be a worshiper and be somebody who's significant in the house of God, if you like, in terms of this whole dynamic of worship. So I want to, by the way I worship this morning and focus on who He is, I want other people around me to get that contagious kind of desire that I've got. And the others around me are like, wow, this is brilliant. I love it. Look at the way that... And you encourage and spur somebody else on.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is who we are. Is that right? It's what it means to be a worshiping person. That we're not living according to stuff. You know, and what you magnify is what you see and gets exalted in your life. Last point. Is that all right? I have got 6 points here. I didn't tell you. I've just told you. But this is the last one. There's a few more, but we won't go there. 6 is enough. Do you think 6 is enough?
Yeah,
that'll do. When you look at the Old Testament and you look at King David and some of the things that happened in terms of when he took the Ark of the Covenant, the box or whatever that contained the tablets and really was the presence of God, the Ten Commandments, that is, not tablets as in for headaches, but the Ten Commandments and everything. he, to cut a long story short, basically took it back to Jerusalem, wanted to restore the ark back into Jerusalem. And what he did as a result of all of that was he got loads of musicians and loads of singers. And they basically set up a worship team that was a bit bigger than our one. And they had hundreds, thousands of musicians and singers, you know. And when you read through different chapters in the Old Testament about all of that, it was very much about singing, worshipping, exalting God. And the musicians accompanied the singers, okay. And you just have to read. There's stuff in Chronicles and other places where you can read all of that. In Revelation, when John, the Apostle John, when he had that revelation that of heaven and God showed him stuff, it talks in a number of situations, particularly in Romans 4 and Romans 5, about the worship that is going on around the throne of God. And it talks about all the different kinds of, in the natural thing, what on earth does that look like? But he talks about the living creatures and the elders and whatever's going on in heaven there, bowing down and worshipping God. And there's a number of different descriptions of what he heard. One was that he heard them day and night. So 24 out, not, I don't know if they have, well, he's talking about day and night, but anyway. It says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Verse 11 then says, you are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. So they're laying their crowns before him. They're worshiping him, and it's loud. Lovely. Then also in the next chapter, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, to be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And it's talking about this worship going on and on and on. It's just because they're caught up with who God is. But it's, and there are some instruments here and there from what it says, but it's really about what is sung, what is said. And so for us, it's great to have a band. It's great to have a PA to help, you know, whatever. But the worship is not the music. The worship is you and me, the people. We are the worshipers. And when you read through what worship's all about, it's about the people worshipping God. And worship is focused on who he is. It's not focused on us and how we're feeling and how we're doing. The worship is about who he is. And that is brilliant, because one of the, for me, when somebody becomes a Christian and I pray with somebody and lead them to the Lord, the first thing I get them to do, once we pray together and all of that, and is I say to them, right, what we're going to do now is we're going to worship Jesus together. Because up to this point, your life has been totally focused around yourself. So effectively, you've worshipped yourself up to this point. Everything's been geared around what you want, the way you want it, and all of that. Now you've given your life to Jesus. He is now Lord of your life. He has just saved you from all the rubbish and cleaned you up and everything. And so we're going to start worshiping Jesus, because for the rest of your life now, it's going to be centered around who God is. And so right from the word go, it's like, okay, now let's worship God. Just tell him, you know, Jesus, I thank you for what you've done. You're amazing. You're incredible. Just and take a couple of scriptures and just use that. And we just tell God who he is, you know. So when we come together, worship is about him. So the songs we use, the words are words of truth. They're from the Bible. It's not just words of how we think or what we'd like to say to the Lord. God, I'm feeling great today, and you know, I'm doing all right, and all of that kind of stuff. No, it's like, no, God, this is about you. You're brilliant. Praise your name. You're magnificent. You're great. You're incredible. You're awesome. You know, when we praise God, I think there's a bit more room, because we can praise and exalt, and some of the songs, they declare things, they decree things, and you know, and they're lines of truth that are saying who God is and what he's done, you know. But when we begin to really worship and come right before the throne, to use that phrase, then that means we get caught up with who he is. That's right. And you don't sing about yourself.
That's it. Come on. Right. Come on.
When you're right before, when you worship, you worship the thing or the person that you're, you know. So when you hear people talk about their pop stars, you know, they say, oh, they're brilliant, they're awesome, they're this, they're that, they're the other, you know. But we don't worship pop stars or people, we worship God. It's like, God, you're incredible, you're awesome, you're amazing. Sometimes it gets to the point, because it's spirit-filled and spirit-led, and he leads and guides us into all the truth, it gets to the point where you just don't know what to say anymore because you're so in awe of him. You're there saying, God, I can't describe you anymore. You are just beyond description. And you get, you kind of get so impacted that you're speechless.
That's it.
I don't mean this either. You just go, sing a little bit and then go, that's not being before the throne. That's being lazy.
Right. That's,
that's being a consumer.
Come on.
That's not giving to God. That's kind of saying, it feels nice now, I'm going to park and just go, oh yeah, Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's it.
Yeah, I feel good. That's actually what's going on.
Yeah.
I feel good. I feel good now. Uh-huh. You don't stop there. That's a lay-by. And you want to come out of that and keep going. Because we want to be consumed. If you really are consumed with God, you don't stand there like this. You're like, God, you're awesome, you're mighty. Everything in you wants to carry on, wants to go further, is reaching out for more because something's happening on the inside of you, the reality, a revelation of God. You're encountering him and there's something in you that's saying, God, I want to know you more. You're amazing. And when you do stop, it's because you're just like, oh. And it's not because you go, it's because of the weightiness of God on you. You're like, oh, God, you're amazing. You're incredible. You're awesome. Amen?
Amen.
That's the kind of people we are. That's the kind of worshippers we are. So every Sunday when we meet, God wants it to be unique. He wants it to be different. And it's not unique or different because of what people up here can come up with on any given Sunday. What's the worship going to be like this week? I wonder if Chad's on form. You know. I wonder who's leading the meeting with Pastor Gary's leading. I wonder if he's going to sing another one of his prophetic songs and then that'd be good. I'll join in then or something, you know, or whatever. No, it's like we are the worship team, all of us in the room. So worship is what's happening in you towards God. And then what these guys do is join in with what we're all doing. It's just that there's a few people in the room that have an instrument or a mic. But we're all the worship team. And you might say, I'm not very good at singing and I don't want my voice to be heard. Don't worry about anybody else. I'm not very good at singing either. I'm sure the Holy Spirit puts an auto-tune on our voices so that when God hears it, it's like, wow, have you heard that lot down there? And Gabriel comes and says, yeah, we've put an auto-tune on Kingdom Faith down there. So it sounds amazing, doesn't it? Through the PA of heaven. But what does he say? He says, but God says, yeah, but the sound, yeah, whatever. But listen to the hearts. Yeah. And that's what God's interested in, your heart.
Yeah, right.
So you might not be able to sing. You might think, oh, no, you know, the louder it is, the less you can hear yourself. That's what that's my approach. So, but we'll leave it at this level. For some of you, you know, that's about your limit, isn't it? So, I would have it a lot louder, but it's not about me. It's about all of us. Just letting you in there. I would crank it up quite a bit more, but we're not going to. So it would actually sound better if it was louder as well. It would be, some of you would be surprised. If we had it louder, it wouldn't hurt your ears. Anyway, we haven't got time. That's true, isn't it, Tim?
It's true.
To a certain degree, anyway. But we are the worshippers, we are the singers, we are the choir, we are the worship team, we are the whatever. So you ready?
Yeah.
So we can come boldly, confidently to approach his throne of grace, as the Bible talks about. We can come with a clear conscience because he's dealt with the guilt. That's why, you know, it's best. I think some of our Western Christianity, we have taken a lot away from people's personal responsibility in their walk with God, and we've put a lot on the corporate context. And actually, if we really understand what it means to be a believer and the responsibility that each of us has in our relationship with God, then whenever we, whether it's on a Sunday coming together here, whether you're going to a life group or prayer meeting, whatever context, actually what we want to do is be prepared before you turn up. So it's not that it takes 10, 15 minutes for everybody to sort of, right, hang on a minute. I'm in a meeting. Right, I'm supposed to be worshipping Jesus. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Yeah, sorry, I forgot about that, God. I thought it was about me for a moment. And sometimes it takes a few minutes for everybody to get into gear or find the gear or you know, I've been in neutral all week. I'm trying to, or I've been in first gear. It's been a tough one or whatever. And I'm not saying you've got to have a revival prayer meeting for 3 hours before you turn up for something. If you want, that's great. That it would be very, very different if you did, and it would be pretty explosive. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Last week we had ringing the bell, didn't we, and getting up at 6 to be at a prayer meeting. Gwen's kind of saying, get up at 4, and, you know. But just imagine that, you know, if we, whenever we come to anything, we're already ready. We're not going to something to get sorted out. Now, in this context, God does stuff and we need building up. We need encouraging. We need all of that. Of course we do. And that's why we come together, to spur each other on. Yes. Sometimes, you know, you might be cruising and buzzing with God and everything is just like, man, this is brilliant. And somebody else is having a tough time. And so those that are really going good at time, you know, what you need to do is say, come on, mate, let's link arms, let's go together. And if you're having a tough time, I'm going to stand with you. And what God's doing in me, I'm going to encourage you with. Because you never know, 6 months later, you might be going through, man, there's some challenging stuff going on in my life at the moment. And the other person was like, well, I was there 6 months ago walking through this, but things are really going great. And I want to encourage you and walk with you now. So if we have that kind of attitude, that spurring each other on, what's that going to do in the life of the church? Not just when we come together, but in general. So you ready? So we want to have a time where that's why we only had one song at the beginning. Because this isn't just about this morning. And are we going to have a good time now in the next half an hour? And what can we come up with? Because we can't come up with anything. Sometimes it probably looks like we know what we're doing. And a lot of the time you have inklings of what the Holy Spirit wants to do, where he wants it to go. But you don't know exactly what it's going to look like until you actually walk it out. So we don't come with a set menu on a Sunday. These are the 4 songs we're going to use. These are the order we're going to do them in. And Gary's going to have a prophetic song after the 3rd song that we've sung. And so. We don't do it like that, you know. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit shows you and you're like, right, this is the direction we go and all of that. But how that looks and how that happens is in the moment. So God can speak to us on Tuesday about Sunday. Absolutely. You prepare your word and you met and other stuff. But how exactly that all unfolds and what that looks like is very much how God's going to do that in any given moment. So the next half an hour, 40 minutes, is really down to how God wants to, how the Holy Spirit wants to lead and guide us. But what we're not doing is waiting for something to happen. So when we turn up, we're not singing a song like, well, let's keep going until something happens, and until the band do something or somebody leads something or says something. No, we are the worship team. So whatever we do, we are releasing praise and worship and adoration. See, and then things are going to start happening. And the band join in and things happen or whatever God wants to do. He speaks prophetically or we end up praying into something or whatever God wants to do at any given moment. So you ready, worship team? So we are the prayer team. We're the worship team. We are the team. We're it. And a couple of guys have got instruments and most of us maybe can't play an instrument. That doesn't matter. You're still on the worship team. You got a voice. The Holy Spirit's in you. And he wants to lead and guide you into all the truth. So let's stand together. And thank you, Jesus. So just go for it. You don't have to wait for the band or wait for a song. Worship is not song singing. Worship, it comes from your life, your spirit, your heart towards God. So you can just begin to tell him how wonderful, how amazing, how great and awesome he is. Just have that heart of David this morning. There's one thing that I ask, one thing that I seek, that I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I love to be in the place where your glory dwells. There's such a fire and a passion that was on the inside of him. Just trigger that this morning as you worship Jesus, as you lift your voice this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.